stank dog in the motherfucking hizzy.
This is dedicated to all the hackers and the crackers.
To the hackers and the crackers.
I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, getting firewalled ho. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll school you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISOs? Let me do my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. You see, G, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones? And NASDAQ leaves you flat on your back? Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack.
This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial code.
Welcome to the next generation of hacking information exchange.
Welcome to the next generation of hacking information exchange.
Welcome to the next generation of hacking information exchange. With Stank Dog and Wintermute.
Hey, hey, Wintermute in the house, and who's with me recording the show?
That would be Stank Dog in the house.
Oh, yeah.
And yes, we are back together again.
Maybe had a couple.
That's the understatement of the year. We had Dual Parallel on the show last week while Mute was on a little
unsuccessfully
freak scout mission. And we are back this week. We got a lot of topics to talk about, so I'm going to jump right into let's do a little housekeeping, email, that kind of stuff first. First of all, we put out a call for show notes a while back, and we have been getting show notes sent in, so I appreciate that. We're going through some of them. I do actually have a front runner. Someone did stand out, nice, clear, concise notes, hit the topics. And it's someone who's actually new to the DDP world, if I can say that, somebody who's just recently joined. So that's a little hint, I guess. I'll leave it like that. But going to let it go for another week. We'll announce a winner next week, so if you still want to get in, again, we're going to give you an @benrev.com email address, and we will put your name on the official notes taker page, however you want to call it. So go ahead and send in your submissions to notes@benrev.com. Also, I put out a call for distributed.net, the distributed team. We got 16 members now and counting, so that's very, very cool. Wootage, I would say. So join up. It doesn't matter what kind of numbers you put out, what your standings are. Somebody, you know, mentioned they had a dual processor. Very cool. That's going to help churn out some numbers, you know. Other people only have one or two computers or, you know, just one laptop where it only, you know, will put up, you know, upload one packet of information every week. Every little bit helps. Just, you know, minimize it, let it run. It doesn't bother anything. And each little bit puts the team up higher. So very cool. We're actually back at a holding pattern where we're starting to slide. We're actually starting to hold again and maybe even gain some ground. So very cool. I'm very happy about that. And we had a couple emails this week that I thought I'd mention on the air. One from M from S, who we're always happy to see email from him. He always has some good comments. You know, he mentioned that, you know, some people said that we kind of, or at least not we, I guess I should say I, have a tendency to rant and get on the soapbox sometimes. And he mentioned that he doesn't really mind the rant so much because it gives him another viewpoint, another way to think about things, that I kind of overanalyze things and bring out some points that he might not have thought of before. But he also mentioned that the ratio of rant to tech is getting a lot better. We're talking about a lot more tech topics and they're not, you know, ranting too awful much. And again, I said this at the beginning, we were going to rant that first episode or two just to show people where we stood on certain topics, and we've moved on from that. Another thing he mentioned that really had me a little bit more concerned was that he said the sound levels are a little bit off. He says that when he listens to the MP3s, the music is a lot higher than our voices. So I blame that on mute. Mute, speak up.
I'll try.
All right. No, actually, I don't... First of all, I hope you have the newer MP3s because I made some mistakes on some of the earlier ones, the ones that are underscore low, I think I call the file names. So I had accidentally encoded those in stereo instead of mono, and it tried to simulate stereo and really messed the sound up. So first of all, I hope you got the newer MP3s. That's the first thing. Secondly, yeah, I'm not, you know, uh-oh.
That was me. Don't worry. Just keep talking.
FBI on the line?
Right.
I'll let them listen, I guess. If they want to participate, they can, too. Where was I? Let's see. I was saying that, the MP3, I also, when I listen back to it sometimes, I can't really seem to see any consistency. I put normalization on when I compress it to MP3, which should try to adjust and balance out the voices, which are going to be lower than the MP3, of course, or than the opening music and closing music, stuff like that. Maybe I should take that auto-balancing off. Maybe it's trying to... I really don't know. I'll try a few things and see if I can work out and get it to be a little bit more steady. There is a feature in here that will allow us to boost the signal, make it louder, make it softer, but it just leaves sound remnants that are very, very noticeable, beeps and blips, and it just doesn't work very well. So I really try to avoid using it. So I'll work on a few things, see if I can get a sound quality out a little bit better. I know it can be frustrating. Somebody mentioned that they had it in their earphones, and all of a sudden they'll scream or yell or something like that, and it'll blast their ears out. So, I'm still working on that. It's getting better, I think, each week. I think last week sounded really good, and hopefully this week will be better, too. Also, I thought this was kind of funny. It made me laugh. Rolling on the floor laughing my ass off? Okay, not really, but it did make me laugh. He said that, I was talking about how much money it costs and how I'm trying, all these projects we want to do with BenRev, and his suggestion was that all the AOL discs that I have, which are just innumerable, uncountable, I guess they're countable, I guess that's an exaggeration, but I have a whole lot of them. He said maybe someday in the future they'll be in high demand that I can sell them to the Smithsonian or something, make a lot of money off of them. So, yeah, I'll think about that one. Right now, I can't take a piss without splashing on an AOL disc, so I don't foresee them. I don't foresee them being rare anytime in the future. But
I mean, the AOL 1.0 floppy.
Yeah.
You have no idea. They also supposedly released discs that only a limited number of discs were released, a certain pattern.
Hmm.
So those might be worth like a whole $10.
Get out of here.
20 years. Oh, man, I am not joking.
Yeah, right.
Some of that stuff is so good. That code is so tight.
Do you want me to send you the AOL 1.0 for the Mac?
Oh, no, I don't want to poison my Mac. It's already poisoned. It's already in the shop.
Well, how... Oh, yeah. What did you do to your Mac?
I didn't do anything. It's never been dropped any farther than 6 inches.
How many times have you dropped it from 6 inches?
Oh, I've never... No. Seriously, never dropped it in my life. And what happened was, I fired up one day, coded the Perl, talking to Nick online. Monitor, you've ever seen an iBook, LCD screen.
Mm-hmm.
Monitor, lines start appearing on the screen, starts messing up. Box freezes up, I'm screwed, doesn't work anymore. I cry. That was in Florida. I come home, go to the Apple Store. Kind man at the Apple Store says, 3 to 8 days, it'll be working again. I'm like, okay. Sends it in. Hopefully it should happen soon.
Did you wipe your hard drive, get any kind of personal stuff off there?
No, I had an app. It just died before I could do anything about it, so.
See, I hate having to take it back in like that, though.
Yeah, that's going back there, and it was funny. I mean, it's under warranty. It's only, like, I think less than five months old, young. And so the warranty is cool with that, but they're charging me if they find a problem with the hard drive or something hard drive related where they would have to replace the hard drive.
Right.
If they charge, they're going to charge me $50 to copy the contents of the hard drive over.
Do you have any choice or option in
that? I
don't
have any choice other than having to take it back.
Can you just tell them to was there anything on there that
there's
you can't?
No, there's a lot of stuff on there. There's notes on what I've done past 4 or 5 months. There's emails. It really does need to come back.
See, that should be part of the service. They should,
it's so stupid.
That's, you know, that's how they get you.
That's how they get me. That's how they're getting me.
That's not cool. That's part of, you know that they're going to have to do that. They shouldn't charge you. That should be.
I mean, right now, it might just be the screen, so then there's no problem.
Hopefully, but.
Hopefully.
It's like a mechanic. You take it in because you need the oil change, and they start telling you have 50 other things wrong with it, too. Anyway, you mentioned Nick. We got an email from Nick also. First of all, he said he liked the intro last week's show, which we had a new intro by none other than Bland and Quister, so thank you for that. And he said he liked that intro a lot. So did I. And he enjoyed, I don't know if you listened to last week's show yet, because I know you're out of town, but we had a discussion on advertising and whether it could be or should be or ever will be acceptable, like on, for example, our sites or a hacking site or something like that. So had a good discussion about that. And he enjoyed that a lot. And he made a good point in his email that I had not thought about. One other thing we talked about last week was the spam filters and how they work and why they do and do not work and the problems with them. And one of the problems was the number of false positives. And that is the number of messages that get flagged as spam and deleted when they actually weren't. And that's the biggest and most dangerous problem is people not getting valid, legitimate email. Well, he pointed out that, frankly, that happens with snail mail. That happens with the post office. Or the, what do they call it, the Royal Post or whatever over there? That happens with the post office with snail mail anyway. So, I don't know what the ratio would be. He showed me some statistics, but it was kind of hard to adjust them to see how many per day or out of how many thousand, how many get lost. But, yeah, I mean, that's not really a problem only with computers. So we didn't mention that on the air. I thought that was a very good point. So,
well, I didn't listen to last week's show yet. But recently, this is kind of weird. Now, I don't know everyone's getting pissed, but I've seen, because I subscribe to a lot of lists. I subscribe to, like, Yahoo groups, radio lists. We got Root Secure. We got all these lists that I subscribe to. And I get, like, about 40 emails a day. And I'm finding a lot less spam than I usually get. I usually get, like, 80 a day. And half of it was spam. But now I'm only getting, basically, on my list maybe a couple messages.
Yeah, you know, I actually agree with that. My Hotmail account, and I have Yahoo account. My work account, I've explained before, they had to take the filter off because people complained about not getting mail, a.k.a. false positives. But on the web, when they announced, and I know, again, you're right, people may not like to hear this, but when they announced Microsoft and Yahoo and I think AOL even were getting together to work together on a new filtering system and stuff like that, ever since then, I honestly have noticed a drop in spam, or at least I see it filtered better.
Yeah.
Stuff that used to come straight to my inbox will now automatically get put into the junk mail folder a lot better than it used to.
I get that a lot. The other thing is funny, I have Comcast. My main is Comcast. So they're either doing some really tight filtering, or it just has something they're not keeping up. The spam guys are sending it out.
Well, I guess it could be.
I don't know. That's kind of like the end of the world. Spam's not coming to your door. It's like the third thing. Death, taxes, and spam.
Well, that was one of the topics we mentioned last week, too, was is it possible, is it naive to think that if people stop responding to spam, spammers will stop sending spam because they have no response rate. They'll slow down, they'll stop. I mean, I still don't think that's. I think it's a fluke. I think it's just we're on a downtime or it's being filtered a little bit better. I don't think spammers have stopped or dropped off the face of the earth because I think they're still getting that message about it. It's not always about click-throughs. It's about views. You know, there's two ways that they measure advertising, where you actually click through and generate that link, generate that click, generate that visit, or just getting screen time and eye time. They get paid for every 1,000 that gets sent out, regardless on anybody clicking on them or not. So, you know, just mass spamming, mass mailing this stuff out, even if there's no click-throughs or something or anything on them, it's still getting the message for the product out there. So, you know, it's going to be around for a long time. You mentioned that you were in Florida. Now, why on earth would you come down to my neck of the woods?
To visit you, Stink.
To visit me?
Yeah.
Well, actually, that is the reason that you weren't on the show last week, because on your way down through here, we did meet up in real life, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
At Universal Studios Florida. So I have seen the Winter Mutant in real life. And let me tell you, I will never be the same. we met up at Universal Studios, and Mute went on about his other things, and I came back and recorded with Duel. But yeah, we spent, Saturday or Sunday?
Yeah, it was Saturday, most of the day.
Yeah, we spent Saturday at Universal Studios, and, just for the record, who absolutely owns the Men in Black ride?
Oh, well, wait a minute.
Now, come on!
You only own it because you know all the tricks.
Well, everyone else will know the trick soon because I'm writing an article on how to own Universal Studios. But we'll save that for the article. But just for the record, I own Jew.
Wait, who had the least score, though?
I don't know who did have the least score. Probably my sister.
Yeah.
No, actually, she had almost as good as I did. She just didn't know some of the tricks.
Yeah,
she did pretty good.
I would have had you if I just hit that. I just did that last thing, the last 100,000.
No, you were still way
off. Oh no, I wasn't.
Yes, you were.
Thing I would have owned.
Yes, you were. And actually, we had a little fun adventure on our way out of that, talking to the Chicksaw at the register on the way out.
Easy bastard.
That is one of those. That's one of those rides where they take your picture while you're on it. And they actually print your score on the picture, which is kind of cool.
Our scores.
I know, because they screwed up our score. See, I can't even prove it. I can't even prove that I had the highest score. Technically, you can deny it, and no one will ever know the difference. So our scores came at all zero due to a technical glitch.
Glitch to our advantage.
Well, we went over there and confronted the young lady about, actually, we probably easily could have gotten back on for another free ride without having to wait in line, but... You know, that it went pretty quick anyway, so... And it was pretty much towards the end of the day. We had to run over to get T3, so... Yeah. Didn't have time. But, sit over there and started talking to the Chicksaw and looking through their computer where they keep all the pictures, which was kind of cool. Got some good information from her. Social engineering is very, very, very easy to do there. These people are sitting behind a register all day. The only talking they do to people is, you know, can I ring that up for you or, you know, your prices... So they're just dying. They love to talk to anybody. So lots of opportunities for social engineering there. We went on to see T3. Now, I think you mentioned, I don't know if you mentioned on the show or if you told me offline that you saw T3 in the movie theaters. Now, the reason I haven't seen T3 yet is because T3D in Universal Studios Florida is the bomb diggy. It's the mad runny shit, dude. That ride, that show, whatever you want to call it, is so badass that I don't see how you could improve or get better. So to me, I'm calling that T3, and I'm calling it a trilogy, and I'm done. I don't need to see T3 in the movie theaters.
I would have to agree, but I mean, I just had to see the movie. It's this other weird thing. It's like I got computers, I got music, and I just see movies all the time. And you know, that's what I do. So I thought, all right, the ride. When I first saw the ride. When it came out, when the ride started, it was brand spanking new. I thought, damn, this is cool. Then I see the movie, and you gotta remember, okay, fine, the movie isn't all it's cracked up to be. Because first of all, it's not James Cameron. It's a different director. So there, he loses some points.
Mm-hmm.
But it is Stan Winston, the guy that does all the makeup and stuff, so, you know, they keep some of the goodness. You know, I would say it's a good movie. It's good for what it is. I would have liked to see Cameron come back and do his magic for a third one, but it's still a good movie. It doesn't have the same tone as the others do. It's more funny, but still good movie. But if you, I know Stank, he's addicted to that ride, so
yeah.
Don't waste up with the movie if you love it so much.
Yeah, that's really the only reason to go. And anybody who's never been. Universal Studios Florida is right next to Islands of Adventure. They're both together.
Yeah.
You know, you can walk right out of one and go to the other.
You know what other attraction you're going to go see?
What's that?
You're going to go see Stank.
Oh, well, hey, I'd be glad. I have season pass. I'll be glad to come up there and meet you. If you guys want to meet up there anytime, it's not too... Well, it's a pretty good trip for me, but it's not all that bad. So I go up there a few times a year anyway. So, yeah, absolutely. I'd love to meet somebody up there if they're down in this neighborhood or if they want to be down here on vacation, something like that.
Amazing state. Hook up.
But Universal Studios, really the only reason I go there is for... Well, actually, the reason I went this time was because I wanted to see if they had that new Shrek ride.
Yeah.
And, of course,
fucking 2 hour wait.
They tried to social engineer us. Did you catch that? When you go up there and ask them how long the wait is, they get, what do they say, 135 minutes.
Yeah.
Don't try to bullshit with me. That's 2 hours and 15 minutes. Don't try to come give me some bullshit. Don't try to social engineer me, make it sound like it's less than it really is. Oh, he's only so many minutes. It's only so many minutes. No, that shit's over 2 hours.
That's a movie.
Dude, forget about it. So I ended up not writing that. So I said,
a 10-minute. How long is Shrek?
I don't know. It's supposed to be like a 3D interactive thing. It may be T3.
They gotta clean this up. It's like TCPIP. It's all this handshaking. You get, like, so much overhead for so little.
Yeah.
Go UDP.
We like
UDP ride.
Just like Twister.
Connection protocols.
Like that damn Twister ride.
That was bullshit.
Dude, I was so mad.
Oh, man. The water. No, people.
Don't.
I'm sorry, we're going off this rant here.
Are we going to ruin the ride, though?
Sure. No. We have to. We have to warn people.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay, good movie.
I'm going to disagree with you on the good movie part, but you go ahead.
Okay, fine.
I can watch the Weather Channel if I want to see Twisters. That's, you know.
The ride. Okay, I've been on the ride before. It's cool. You know, stuff happens. They build a quote-unquote tornado right in the building. No, it says you'll get wet. No, I assume it because I've ridden the ride once before that, you know, a little sprinkle. No, as I was about to pull my camera out to take a picture of stink, as I pull my camera out, the windows will break behind us, and water all over us.
Dude, it wasn't Twister. It was like fucking tornado or something.
Yeah.
It was like deep impact.
Damn! Did they have to spray water on me?
I was pissed.
We were both. I was so, like, 2 seconds away from taking my camera out.
I was pissed. I hate getting wet in parks. Unless I'm planning to ride water all day, I hate riding water rides in an amusement park because then I got to walk around all squishy and my shoes are wet and my wallet's wet and I hate getting wet. And that was the first ride we rode, wasn't it?
Yep.
Fuck my whole day up. Ah, damn it, I used the F word. Messed my whole day up. But actually it was really fun. Lines weren't too bad because, you know, we had some other tricks and some other things to do and, saw some payphones. Well, anyway, there's going to be a good... I actually started writing the article before we went on the air, so hopefully this article will be done soon and have a lot of good information. Speaking of articles, I sent in, finally, my submission, my little tiny bit of input to Project Walmart Freedom. So I sent in some information from my local super-duper deluxe monster store, and to Duel, so that's still coming along. Have you sent anything in for that?
Not really. I'll do it one of these days.
Yeah. And this past weekend was the 2600 meetings. Obviously, you couldn't go because you weren't.
It was pissing me off because, first of all, I could have because where I was staying, they used to have a meeting, but I guess people kind of dozed off and decided not to show up. And as I look at the 2600, it's no longer there, so I was really pissed.
That stinks. Well, and being that it was just a visiting situation, it's not like you can start it up again or anything.
Yeah, no, so I was angry because I was actually trying to find people. I was actually, Kid E, he hasn't been around in a while, but I was going to meet up with him, but he was busy. He was actually going to DEF CON. So I was wondering how that went. Did you hear anything about DEF CON?
I have not yet. Actually, a friend of mine called the house, and I was out. I don't know why I didn't call my cell phone. A friend of mine just moved, and I have not gotten his new phone number. So he calls me and leaves a message bitching about how I don't return his phone calls. And I'm like, asshole, leave me a number, and then maybe I'll call you back. So he calls me, says, I'm at DEF CON, ha-ha, you're not. And he didn't give me a number to get back to him, so I was hoping to call and touch base with him and see how it went. But no, I have not heard anything. I know Epiphany was going. I think Not Theory was going, some other people, and I haven't had the opportunity to talk to them yet. So... hopefully by next show we'll have some more information. We'll be able to talk about it, maybe have some guests on.
Mm-hmm.
I did go to my 2600 meeting. We last month kind of was really screwed up because of the holiday, so I didn't make last month's meeting. But this time we went, and it was fun. We saw a couple new people, a couple of the same old people. It was a good average meeting, good what I was expecting for the most part. We're talking about some things, and just on a fluke, just for the hell of it, I thought I'd fire up my laptop and see if there were any access points yet. because in the mall near where I work, they just opened a Mac store, and I know Mac has wireless within their store, and I've been social engineering trying to see how it works and get some information about it. So I thought, just for the hell of it, the mall that that this meeting is at, I'm not familiar with. I didn't know if they'd have one, so I thought I'd fire up and see if I could find an access point. And sure enough, I did find some access points, and we had no idea where they were from. There was no Mac store, as it turns out, but since we did see this couple access points, we decided to do a little war walking. So we're walking through the mall with our laptops in our arm, like total uber geeks, trying to zone in on where the signal's coming from. So basically, and then it was coming from a couple of the bigger department stores. The one that I picked up originally, though, was very interesting. It was actually from some type of service provider, and I could get a DHCP address assigned to me, no problems. But when I try to go anywhere, it tries to route me through a proxy and wants me to give it a username and password to log in and get through. So that's more like a symbol or an indication that there is a pay-for-use wireless or something going on.
That rerouting, I found, becoming more popular than webbing your stuff. That way of not having a web, not encrypting your traffic, but making sure people go in and username password,
right,
a lot more popular. But as everyone knows, I bet every time that it comes up, you can Mac spoof, you can scan with your card, and you're in.
Yeah, the most bigger companies, you know, you want as much as you can get. You want web and password, you know, but you definitely want to have some type of authentication. I wouldn't say use one over the other. I'd say use both.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it does get kind of silly with, well, it depends. I don't know what this company was or how they were set up. But if it's only one username and password, if it's like, for example, the Mac store and they use the same username and password for all the systems, that's kind of dumb. I mean, you might as well just use the web encryption, even though they can be encrypted. Again, use both. But,
yeah,
you know, having a username and password that's not unique, you don't have one for each system or for each computer assigned for each user, then it's kind of redundant. Once you get one, you've got in the whole thing. So that's a little, a little wasted, I guess, a little silly. So anyway, that's probably, we'll probably follow up on that next month, see if they're still there. I wrote down the name of the ISP and some other information. I can do some research on it, hopefully by next month, and see if we can go back and hack through that. New 2600 magazine came out, too. It's kind of weird how the time frame in which people get this, because normally I read about everybody getting their copy online, and I'm like the last person to get it. And this time I actually got mine quickly, and a lot of other people were behind getting it. So I don't know how they distribute or how that gets sent out. Maybe it's the mail, you know. Maybe it's the post office or whatever is slowing
really
stuff down.
Really, just luck of the draw sometimes.
Could be, I guess. Maybe it's, I don't know. I mean, alphabetical, and mine gets delivered to Stank Dog, so S at the bottom of the stack, or D at the top of the stack. Who knows? But I was one of the only people with mine at the 2600 meeting, which I thought was surprising. So the 2600 this month, hey, you've got yours, right?
I got mine, yeah.
And I haven't read it completely, but I finally skimmed most of it last night, read a few of the articles that really piqued my interest in the letters and stuff. Visually, I think it was much, much improved this time. There was a huge increase in graphics and screenshots and things like that that helped enhance the articles, which I liked a lot. I thought that was pretty good. And shout out to Epiphany and Johnny Lightning had a great, great article on McDonald's Wireless. So that was very good article and very well written. Had some graphics in that of what the cards look like and stuff like that. And gave us some shouts at the end of it. So that's definitely happy about that. That was very cool. I don't quite understand the cover, to be honest with you. I mean, is that just some, you know, giant mangle of wires? Is that just kind of a funny look at all the wires going into this broken telephone hack job, or what?
I have no idea. It's just weird. And it looked like there was a main pole, and they're too lazy to take everything off the old pole, so they just slapped it up there.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought, but I didn't know if I'm missing, being not a big-time freak. I thought maybe I was missing an inside joke.
Something. Now, I don't know. Now, if someone has a 2600, they always hide something on the list of articles page. There's something on there. Now, I don't want to go off 5 minutes trying to explain, but there is something on there. Now, I can't read it. Someone else can. Do talk about it on the board.
Oh, I didn't. You know what? I didn't even look for it yet. I usually find it, but I didn't see it this time. Off, didn't catch my eye immediately. Anyway,
It's not as profound. It is there, I think. Maybe it's my eyes. Maybe, you know, I'm really getting old. I turn 18 soon. You know, I'm getting up there. So, I mean, we don't know. If someone can find it, you know, do post it.
And that's what I was wondering about the cover. Am I missing some secret there also? I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, well. And they had an ad for BenRev in the back. We got our ad into the back of 2600, so hopefully some people will come by and check out BenRev, Binary Revolution Magazine. Issue 1.2 should be coming out soon. The meetings kind of threw us back a little bit, and we released on about the first or second weekend last time, just barely in time for the meeting. So we're on schedule fine. So that should be coming out, and as soon as it is, we'll post it on the on the forums and on the binrev.com. There were some letters in there that I thought were interesting. You know, it's kind of weird. I wrote an article called The History of Elite Speak. And it's one of those articles that people love it or people hate it. So I've seen some hating going on about that article. But then again, somebody writes in a letter to this at 2600 saying that they liked it. So I guess, you know, it takes all kinds. Some people like it, some people aren't. There's not enough. It wasn't a technical article. So a lot of people want to see more technical stuff, so I understand that part of it. But I send in some tech stuff to them that they don't use, so I don't really know how they choose which articles they want. I really don't know what their thought process is. So it was good that somebody wrote in a letter saying that they liked the article, so I guess that's good. But again, like I said, so I've seen some posts in a forum the other day that I won't mention that was basically saying they didn't like the Elite Speak article. What was that about? Well, you know, What do you want me to tell you? There was, try one of my other articles, try some of the articles in snagdog.com, try binrev.com and order the magazine. Maybe you'll find something in there better you like. But in general, there's really a lot of elitism going on lately. There's really a lot of hating going on, and our forum is actually pretty good. I'm very happy that people are very self-controlled. They're not too arrogant, with a couple exceptions. That for the most part, they stay in line. Everybody's gets the vibe of community and helping out and participating. But I see a lot of people like splitting off and starting their own forums and starting their own zines and stuff like that. That's all great. I like that and support that, but you're fracturing and dividing the community. You know, if you want to make another zine and stuff like that, every time somebody has, we pimp it on the show, we pimp it on the site. Go check it out. I order copies of that kind of stuff. But I see people making forums just because they want to be in charge or they want to be the big dog. You know, they didn't like this other forum, so they're going to come over here and bash a certain person. And that's not really the reason to create your own forum or your own site, you know. Don't fracture the community, I guess is what I'm saying. Let's all get together and work together. United we stand, divided we fall. You know, everybody's heard that before, and I really believe that's true. You're going to start splitting off, and everybody wants to be their own thing and try to be famous, and, you know, I want to start my own zine so I can be super the next Kevin Mitnick, and I want to start. Well, you know, the way to accomplish things is to work together, in my mind. Maybe I'm on my own here, I don't know, but I'm just saying, you know, work together, get that sense of community, work with people, not against them, don't fight against people, just, you know, get on board. This is, you know, what the Binary Revolution is not about me. It's not about DDP. It's not about, you know, trying to be elite or trying to be. This is about a movement. You know, that's why the name Binary Revolution fits and sticks so well. It is a revolution of hackers coming together, working together to get our points across and to make people understand and see what we're about and how we work. And if you're not on board, if you're not, you know, if you don't want to be part of the revolution or you don't believe in the revolution or whatever, get the fuck out of the way. We are coming through. We are starting a revolution. So don't hate. You know, you don't want to participate. That's fine. get out of the way, and we will move right on through. But don't start hating on people. Don't bash people. Don't insult something. Make it better. You know, you didn't like the Elite Speak article? Write a better article. I'll print it. I'll gladly print it. So, don't hate, participate. That's the message of this rant.
Stink has become Martin Luther King Jr.
I have a dream! Alright. Boy, I didn't mean for that. That turned into a rant.
The little black hats and little white hats will play along together.
Oh, that was great. Oh, man, you made me laugh. I didn't mean for that to go into a big rant. I started going off on a tangent there. But anyway, yeah, don't play a hate. Participate. That's all I'm saying. Let's go to some tech stuff because, boy, I didn't mean to take that off. I'm going to get hate mail about how I'm on a soapbox again. So let's move on to some tech topics. The biggest thing this week that I read about was Cisco, big Cisco vulnerability. They have a problem.
They're rammed.
You heard about this?
Oh, big time.
Yeah, this is what happens when you put all your eggs in one basket. You know, when you've got a giant like Cisco or a giant like Microsoft or a giant like whatever in charge of things and you have no alternatives. When you have a problem, it's very widespread. It's a huge problem. And with Cisco, the problem is with their iOS operating system. It allows denial of service attack by sending maliciously constructed sequence of IPv4 data packets to one of their vulnerable servers. So, and that's the 7300 series router, Catalyst switches, or AeroNet WAPs. And there's a lot of those. A lot.
They're everywhere.
Yeah, now there is a patch. You know, there is a patch for this available, but it's the process of everybody going through and upgrading it. And the fact that there's so many of them that it's going to take a while before they start fixing all of these things. But basically what it does is you send a specially constructed packet and send it through these routers, and it will label an interface as being full, and it will shut that interface off. It's kind of a self-defense mechanism built into the hardware. So it will actually disable the interface. And by sending that through and disabling each interface, however many there may be, if there's only one, so be it, you will disable the device. Now, because this is like a self-defense thing, because it's trying to protect itself, trying to recover, it's not trying to recover. It does not recognize this as a problem. It doesn't try to auto-recover. It doesn't try to fix itself. The only way to fix this is to manually reboot the machine. So the potential for this is, you know, a lot of IT departments, or pseudo-IT departments, I should say, you know, they work Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. 6 o'clock, you take this thing down, and they're gone for the weekend.
They're like, oh, I'll go through Tillman and reboot it. What
yeah,
if
wrong,
Dad can't?
Wrong answer. You will drive your sorry, overpaid ass back in there and reboot it.
On the way, you'll go grab your Starbucks and be like, oh, shit.
And then on your way back, it'll probably be down again by the time you get home. You'll get paged with your little intrusion detection or something. It'll tell you it's down again.
Fire will be saying, you know, you fucked up.
You can't put it off till Monday and think, oh, I'll just patch it Monday. Nope, you're going to be SOL, man. So, yeah, again, that's a problem with having one giant in charge of all these different things. When a problem comes along, everybody's affected. And if we don't hold them to some kind of standards of security, etc., then, you know, that's one of the big knocks against Microsoft. And now, this doesn't look good for Cisco. I mean, they've had some vulnerabilities in the past, but this one, you know, this doesn't look good for them in.
Their problem is, it's with their operating system itself, the iOS. I've heard a lot of people talk crap about it. The other thing is that they keep it so locked down. It's like a movie. It's like Matrix Reloaded. Or any movie that they keep it so locked down, but you know it's going to get leaked. That's the problem these days. A lot of the iOS code, when a big vulnerability, I don't know if this was because someone leaked the code, but the code is leaked and then someone does it. That's what open source. Open source is so easy because you can just look at the code and then write the vulnerability. It's a lot worse when someone comes around like Cisco's code that's proprietary and they mess with that.
Right. And, you know, again, Microsoft, that's the other name you always say in a situation like this. You're not going to look at Microsoft's code either.
Yeah.
You know, you're at their mercy to fix things. So, I guess it goes with the territory. You have to, you know, have to take the good with the bad if you're going to go in those directions with your hardware. A lot of the newer, smaller companies that are trying to come up and take a bite out of that market share that Cisco has, and and well, a lot of hardware, not only Cisco switches, routers, stuff like that, but a lot of hardware, they're having special, customized, watered-down, dedicated versions of Linux and Unix.
Like, oh.
Operating systems driving those devices instead of some proprietary.
The a Linksys 802.11g wireless access point runs Linux. Its firmware is Linux. And people have actually worked away. You can actually bring a shell up, a full command line. You can edit the firmware. You can edit stuff. It runs IP tables, which is really cool because that way it's open source. You're making sure it works. And it can be patched.
You know, got to be careful. At the same time, you have to have the security on that.
Yeah.
So that somebody doesn't maliciously patch it, you know. But, yeah, I mean, at least you have options with something like that. So, and you still have the same support or whatever from the company to fix problems, but you also have the option of possibly figuring out and fixing something yourself.
Yeah.
So really, it's the same situation as with Cisco, except that it gives you one more option. So who doesn't want more options? You know, it just seems very logical to me to try something like that. Another big topic I read this week was, and this is a topic we've hit on quite a bit lately, last week especially, RFID. Again, we're going to talk about RFID, but not Walmart this time. Actually, one of my favorite companies, and I say that very sarcastically, American Express. American Express is trying RFID as a substitute for credit cards, and it's called Express Pay is what their nickname. It's like the Speed Pass. If any of the listeners have a Speed Pass that you use at the gas station, you pass your speed pass in there and it's tied to a credit card number or something like that, and you can just pass it, fill your car up, and drive off. You don't have to walk in. It's kind of a time-saving thing. It's actually a really good idea. There's nothing wrong with that per se. But American Express, I don't really trust them, and B, they're not exactly doing it as a speed pass. They're actually putting it into some fast food restaurants and other retail places where it's, you know, where it's speed is of the essence. Not that fast food is ever fast anymore, it seems like. But specifically, they're in the Phoenix area. Dairy Queen, Carl's Jr., whatever that is. I think Dual Eats has told me they have that before when he visits Phoenix. Quick copy printing, places like that. The quick, you know, in and out type places are giving you the option to scan your credit card. So if anybody in Phoenix area has seen these or can keep an eye out for these, give us some information. I find it very interesting how they work and if they seem, you know, if they seems like a good idea, what you think about it. The technology on this might mean more to you than it does to me. It's based on the Texas Instruments chipset, and it runs at 13.56 megahertz. Now, does that sound normal? Does that sound standard? Or
what's going on with this RFID now? I don't know. Have you guys really talked about the tech of it?
Not the tech so much, no.
Well, basically, this tag, it's like, I've never seen one. I know they're going to be start moving in. You're going to start seeing this stuff in your clothing pretty soon when you check out. It's relatively small. It's just a transmitter. And what it does is it beeps out, it's a serial number, and it sends it, and a store can tell where it is because, you know, they can direction, and if they don't hear, let's say they have a list of all their shoes that have this RFID tag in them, and if the machine, when you check out, it like cancels that off the list, well, if it sees it missing, it's going to think it's stolen, and that way they can track it. But they can also track it because if they say, oh, these don't have RFID tags in them, they really do, and they can monitor you. That's the problem. That's the privacy issue. Well, what's going to happen is there's these tags, and then a friend of mine, Etox, I always talk about him, the guy is the shit with the radios. He's got some projects going that's going to be, more privacy friendly. But he's saying that the tech he's hearing from is that they're going to be running at 9 megahertz, not necessarily 13.56, as this one says. And so we never know. It's going to be, but what he's going to be developing is something more, a little more privacy friendly for these RFID tags.
Well, that's definitely, you know, that is what we have talked about, is the privacy aspect of it, and we touched on generally how they work with the antenna and how they're traced and stuff like that. But what about that particular frequency, 13.56?
There's nothing. I mean, that low. There's nothing really. I don't think there's anything special that comes off the top of my head.
Is that the kind of thing that
they're just going low because that's what they're going to do? I mean, there's no. It's actually a little odd to have it really low.
Is what I guess what I'm one of my concerns, and this is being, I just do not know the tech, so this may be a very naive question, but is there a chance, is there some way that I can get a hold of 13.56 receiver and listen in the parking lot, or even worse?
I don't really know commercially.
Is it a commercial only?
Building it, but I mean, you know, who knows? Someone might come up with plans here. You on eBay right now, I search RFID once, and you can't buy that stuff. You can make your own RFID tags. And they also here we got they're going to be encrypted as well. This is going to be credit card numbers for.
Right. So what you were saying earlier about sending I forgot what your term was, but basically a UPC number or a tag number.
It's a number.
This is actually going to be
more of an ID for the product.
Right, for the product. But in this case, what American Express, I'm guessing they're passing the credit card number itself.
Maybe not the credit. Let me think.
It could be a number assigned to the card that's cross-referenced.
It wouldn't make a difference if you had that number. You can charge in that credit card. So encrypting it is the way to go.
Yeah, it is encrypted from tag to scanner. It uses a random number generator to change the security code every time. So that's a good thing, but, you know, what kind of encryption? How strong is it? You know, there's a lot of question marks there. So, you know, again, the potential, I don't know. I'd like to see more tech detail about it. So if you hear more about it or Etox has something, you know, I'm sure we'll bring it up on a later show. I find that, yeah, I guess I mention RFID a lot because I find it very, very interesting. I mean, honestly, the SpeedPass, I think, is a pretty good idea. I don't use it because that gas station that uses it is too damn expensive. But it's a pretty good idea, and it is convenient. It is a convenient way to pay for things sometimes if I can count on the security of it. So that's what my concern is. And before I'm going to adopt anything like that, I'm going to be concerned about the security of it. In this case, like again, we were talking last episode, and you just mentioned earlier about these tags being on clothing and retail devices and stuff like that. Now, if they put this on your clothes or whatever, I mean, that's one thing. You know, that can be taken off when you leave the store or something like that, I guess. I don't know how they're going to do that either. But what if, you know, for example, this thing is going to be, you keep this on you at all times. You know, it's not like you turn this in when you're done with it, or, you know, if it's an RFID in the store, they scan you and they take it off when you leave, like the security tags on clothes sometimes. It's not a situation like that. This is with you every step of the day. Do they have the potential, and what would they do with that ability to watch you all the time? Every step of your day, can they monitor and see where you go? And if American Express has this reputation for keeping an enormous database on its customers. That's really the big separation, the big difference between them and a lot of the other credit card companies, is they guard their personal information. It's invaluable to them. They sell it out to companies, targeted marketing. This person buys a lot of electronics. Here you go, Best Buy. We'll sell it to you for X number of dollars, and we're guaranteeing you that it's customers who spend a lot of money on electronics or a lot of money on medication or a lot of money, you know, whatever they want. They data mine this. Well, now this company who's famous for that and everybody knows that's their bread and butter and that's one of the things they do, now we're going to give them potentially the ability to watch where I'm at and track where this device goes. That's really, really, really scary. Really, really scary. Are they going to be able to tell that I go into a store and didn't use American Express, or what kind of stores I go into and start sending me targeted? The potential for abuse is just scary. Maybe it's me going paranoid again. You know how I get.
Well, wait. Going back to your other point. 9 megahertz, you know, you might be able to pick that with a scanner.
Hmm.
The radio scanner. I'm not sure. I don't have my scanner around with me. But don't quote me on that, but I bet you can't. I was thinking about something else when you asked me. But I bet you can with some radio scanners. I'm not sure about mine. I don't know how low it goes. The newer ones, you might be able to receive it.
So that's 9, but this one was 13.56.
Maybe.
Well, why don't we look into that? Maybe we can talk about that next show.
Listen, tune into it, see what's up.
Yeah. That could be interesting. You know, speaking of radio frequencies and just frequency in general, it's another story that caught my eye. This is kind of, probably kind of obscure. I don't know if anybody heard of this one, but in Norfolk, Virginia, this is a very short story, and I think it's just easier to read it. Dozens of shoppers were stranded in Thetford today, which I guess is some town, after their cars locked them out. Immobilizers and electric locking system shut down, locking several people out of their cars parked at the Forest Retail Park. The mystery mass lockout has been blamed on rogue radio waves. Although it's unclear whether the radio waves were transmitted from, where the waves were transmitted from, the incident is to be investigated by the Radio Broadcasting Commission. Sainsbury staff provided cups of tea and help for stranded families who had to wait for mechanics to fix the problems. So, again, you're the radio guy. Tell me what's going on with this. What happened here? Is this the work of hackers? Is this, you know, this sounds like it was multiple types of cars and multiple... You know, it doesn't sound like it only happened to Toyotas or it only happened to Fords or whatever. You know, what happened here? What are they saying, a rogue radio wave?
There could be, you know, it's just, you know, it's a chaos theory. Butterfly left its wing somewhere, starts a tornado in the other part of the world. It could be really anything. It could be, yeah, a fluke of nature. It could be someone overjuiced their radio and it fucks something up on the other side of town. On the other hand, it could be someone that has a lot of time on their hands, has really researched this, found that stuff out, and are locking people out of their cars. It also depends on the cars themselves and how they work. How, if you press that button to lock your car, it's just saying, hey, lock my car. Is it really doing some work in some type of way of kind of messing up stuff so it doesn't repeat it? Or, I mean, it's really easy just to send something to the car. It's doing some more work in the way of turning it off. Turning the car, locking, unlocking, so on and so forth. So, it's really weird. The other thing is, this article doesn't make sense. If they're locked out of their cars, you have a key to your car. That's how you use your car. Open it with the key.
Well,
it doesn't make sense.
I don't know, unless it's maybe it's an alarm thing where it shuts off the engine, or...
I think they're talking about something else. Because if you get a key, you can open up your car. I think maybe all these car alarms went off.
Right, well, no, see, it's immobilizers and electronic locking system shut down, so the car was immobilized.
Okay, maybe it's something else. This might be a lot worse than just car locking itself. You can unlock it.
Right.
Like, alarm systems, locking the car down, or there's, I've never heard of anything be able to just, completely stop your car from moving.
Sure, you can. Most alarms, a lot of the higher end alarms have, you know, they'll shut down the engine and they'll stop people from starting it up if they don't start the car properly.
Yeah. So yeah, that's weird.
Now this is a mass consumer device, so they have to have a legitimate frequency to operate on. So
I found a lot of those. You can, if you every device that transmits. Or every good device that transmits a radio frequency has to register with the FCC, obviously, or they're going to get sued if they ask. And just like me, I'm a ham radio operator. You have to take a test for that and stuff. There's a lot of shit you have to go through to get it. And so what you do is, if you see something that emits a radio frequency, look at the back. It'll tell you it's FCC ID.
Mm-hmm.
Search FCC ID. Look up on Google. You'll get the first link. You put in that code. It'll tell you who made it. Model number, all that stuff. Sometimes they give you a schematic, and it gives you the frequency it operates on, or at least a range, and you can find out everything. So if you found out all these FCC IDs for all these cars, I don't think they put FCC IDs on those little button transmitters, maybe on the inside of the actual transmitter itself, then yeah, would it be hard?
Hmm.
But looking at this, this might be one product, might be something aftermarket edition, maybe not, I don't know.
Yeah, there's not enough detail, unfortunately, in the story, but it did catch my eye to think, what in the world could have caused this? It says several people, so the odds of them all having the same...
It's very hard.
Yeah, it sounds like it was a little bit more global than that, but yeah, unfortunately, we don't know more detail, so...
This is very interesting, and you know, I might check into this, see what's up.
But yeah, as a more... Let's back up from this. In a more general statement, again, from a newbie standpoint, they have to have permission to use a certain range or a certain frequency. as far as transmitting. How about receiving? It's, quote-unquote, it's illegal to intercept cell phone calls, blah, 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 blah. It's hard to find the equipment to listen in on that kind of stuff. That's illegal, am I correct?
Actually, well, or it, see, this is the thing that has gotten a lot of people pissed off.
Yeah, let me give you a second part of this question to go on with. That being the example, is it also illegal for me to own a receiver to pick up 13.56 or whatever we said earlier, and to listen on this? If I look it up on the site you told me to, and look it up and see what the FCC, who it was assigned to, is there anything necessarily illegal about listening to those?
Now that's good thing about this point. Now, to address your first part, it is illegal to listen to cell phone conversations. That being said, in any metropolitan area right now, you're not going to hear cell phone conversations on the supposed locked band of 800 megahertz. What's around there right now is a lot of trunk radios, a lot of fire stations, a lot of police stations. Some of those are moving to digital. The other thing you're going to get is a lot of pagers. There's a lot of stuff that operates in that bandwidth. Not a lot of more cell phones. You go to rural areas where they still have an analog. Where it is the analog stuff? You're going to be hearing analog, and I've heard analog. It's not hard to pick up at all. And you're going to hear analog, and you say that it's hard to find a radio for that. It's not hard at all. A lot of radios today, well, in the U.S., they have to be sold as 800 megahertz or cell phone band blocked. A lot of radios today, it requires very little skill to unlock that. The older radios, like my scanner, I bought it unlocked, and it would have still taken me all of 5 or 10 minutes to unlock it. Really doesn't take no skill, which is kind of funny because these radio companies are supposed to be kind of, quote-unquote, protecting that band, but they're not because they're making it so easy to unlock it. So your second part about listening, from what I know, the only thing you can't listen to is that cell phone. Now, I know the laws are all twisted. Bernie S. has been talking about it a lot. He talks about that. You have to really look at the law books, but listening to those is not wrong at all. Now, cell phone band, yes, it is. But 13.56 megahertz, that's open country. Transmitting on it's a different story, but listening to it is not.
Oh, of course, transmitting, I understand, but listening, that's
when one... No, nothing.
Hmm.
Anything, the only thing I know about is the cell phone band. That to listen on the cell phone band is illegal, just as, you know, tapping a phone line and listening on it without a warrant is illegal. But anything else, you're completely safe.
Right, which is why it's so important to have encryption and encoding and stuff like that.
That's why it's on 2 points. There's a lot of the FCC. They cut up. Somehow they became the proprietors of, you know, the air, and they cut up the megahertz for certain things. There's certain parts of the airwaves that are reserved for ham radio and Marine, the Coast Guard, Marines.
Right, right.
Everything's cut up. But there's a point as you get high enough and low enough that no one cares anymore. Above a certain gigahertz, you can do whatever you want.
So for a computer geek like me, that's more along the lines of 1024 and below port numbers are reserved, and anything beyond that is pretty much free reign.
Yeah.
Now, standards have emerged within there, but not necessarily enforced by anything or anybody.
Really, port numbers are more of a convenience.
Right.
Not really a set-in-stone standard.
Exactly. Well, that, you know what? That was interesting. See, now, Dual City learned something last week, and I learned something this week. That was a good segment. I'm glad I had you on, because I really had no idea. I knew something was fishy with a story, and that was good. I liked that a lot. Actually, I have this story just for you. I saw this and I knew I had to add this to my notes. And we haven't done this for a long time, so as a segue into this story.
Segway.
New York City Police Department is going to be trying Segways for the next 60 days. New York police officers are going to have Segway devices to travel around the city, and I don't think they're going to be getting any car chases or anything with them.
All right, first of all, now if anyone knows a Segway, you don't move fast. Second of all, they're so fucking fat, they're not going to go anywhere.
They're still banned in New York City.
Are they banned, like, smoking? Is it really banned?
I think it's actually banned in New York.
It's the weirdest place, because that is,
it's so crowded.
It's the center of commerce, yet cell phones are blocked or banned when you drive. Smoking is banned in most areas. Segways, it's craziness.
Yeah, the their reasoning for the Segway is because it's too big and bulky, and they're scared you're going to hit or clip somebody, and there's going to be lawsuits galore.
People, they're scared.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? And the people, the places they allow it,
yeah.
Who the hell's going to be riding a Segway out in some country road and dirt road? Well, you know, I'm going to go feed the cows, Maul. I'm going to hop on the Segway.
The Segway, no. All right, I have to admit, the guy that was at, what's his name? Brilliant inventor, dude. You know, he makes the coolest, it's really cool because, you know, it's a, moves at a good pace, what, 20 miles an hour, and you know, it keeps its balance. It's really cool. First of all,
the Segway goes 20 miles an hour?
Maybe less. I don't know. Whatever.
Oh.
It goes.
I thought it was like 6 or 9 or
okay,
something.
Okay, fine. It keeps its pace. Whatever. It's cool. It balances up. It doesn't tip over, or at least tries not to tip over. The thing is, it doesn't. It's not good because first of all, it's speed, and I guess UPS was going to try it, but it can't pull much at all. It doesn't pull well.
Hmm.
So no, it's a cool idea, but not going to fly.
No. We'll see. If anybody in New York City can get us a picture of a cop on a Segway, there's some promo pictures out there with the stories and stuff. Somebody get us a real-life picture of a real cop riding a Segway.
Like a handshake?
Yeah, email that to us. Please email that to us. I would love to see that. Maybe we can put that on the inside cover to BenRev 1.3 or something like that. So please take your digital cameras. If you live in New York, send that to us. That would be hilarious. We're running kind of short on time here, but there is, let's see, can I hit this point and this could turn into a rant? You know, have I ranted enough for this show? Maybe we can save this for next week.
Yeah, I think we save this.
Yeah, we're running kind of low, and let's do some, yeah, let's wrap it up. Let's see, boy, we covered a lot of stuff this episode. This was I'm very happy with this episode. It went very well. Let's see. You know what? I screwed up and didn't start my timer. I don't know how we are on time. By the way, if 10 minutes into this show, I bet you the damn stream dropped again. I emailed them and told them there was a problem, and I haven't heard back from Rant Radio yet. But 10 minutes into every show, this damn thing drops, and let's see if it happens again. I'm telling you, there's nothing wrong on my end. It's once I reconnect it after that 10-minute drop, it'll stay the rest of the night fine. But 10 minutes in, something happens every single time, and I don't know what's going on. It's getting on my last nerve, so I'm going to watch for that closely today. Do you have any shout-outs for this week?
I have nothing, man.
We can shout-out Mr. V-Tech.
The V.
Shout-out everybody at Universal Studios. Everybody knows the email address, letters@benrev.com. If you got feedback, bitching, moaning, rants, complaints, whatever, love letters you want to send, mute. Send them all to letters@benrev.com. If you're going to send explicit pictures, send those directly to Wintermute.
Hey, no men. No. Hey, well, you know what they say. All the women swoon for Mute.
When you say they, of course you mean you.
All the women swoon for me. Me.
You're the only one that says that.
No. They all do. Everyone. Wintermute.
Every single one?
Hell yeah.
Even the ones we were social engineering at... At Universal Studios, Men in Black?
They love it.
She was a hottie, man. She wanted you.
No.
Anyway, I'm hoping to have a special guest on next week. I've talked to him. Don't know if he's going to be available, so I'll leave that mysterious, leave that wide open. And I'll give shouts to my 2600 crew since we just had our meeting, if they're listening. Shout out to them. And I guess that's it. So I guess next week... we'll see you same hack time.
Same hack nation.
And we leave you with another track from Ill Skills called It's the Gangsta in Me. Peace out.